Thanks, Ethan.
Well, again, good morning. So great worshiping with you guys this morning. I just love hearing all your voices. I don't know if you noticed, but at the end of almost every song, I'm sitting up there going like, oh, and it because it's toasty. I'm under these lights, but this entire week has been especially toasty. I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm the type of person that's warm all the time. It could be 60 degrees, and I'm still kind of warm, and it's partially humidity. I grew up in Montana, and there's like negative humidity there. I feel like it's negative 10 all the time. And here, if the humidity is above 50%, I'm pretty much sweating, and that's just how it goes. And I was thinking about, what would it be like if you could just be comfortable all the time? So like there was no negative 20, there was no 90, there was no mosquitoes, and you were just comfortable all the time. What would that be like? That'd be pretty cool. And then I was thinking about, in the Bible, there is a time when it's like that, or at least we think it is. It says that there's no pain, and mosquitoes are a pain. So that means there wasn't any mosquitoes in the garden, either that or they just didn't bite. So the garden was a time when there was no pain, there was no strife. And why is there strife now? Sin. Yes. And because we sinned, God's wrath was laid out on the world. And there was overheating, and there was getting too cold, and there was mosquitoes, and there was all these things because we sinned, and the justice for that was a fallen world. And with that fallen world also came death. Wow, I'm very cheerful this morning, right? I'm going to get more cheerful as this message goes on. But to understand how cheerful I can be, I have to go here first. And so this morning, we are in the book of Jonah. We're in chapter 2. And as we looked over Jonah, I thought to myself, they asked me, what passage out of this would you like to preach from if you could choose? And I was like, oh, Jonah chapter 2. It's a poem, and I did a paper on it for our class, and so I got it in the bag. No. Imagine it or not, if you read a poem in Scripture and you write a paper on it, you just spend a lot of time talking about the poetic form, and you don't actually get to the heart of it unless you pray over it and you seek it and you get into it and you meditate on it. And then you get into the heart. And as I was pouring over this over and over again, saying, okay, what's the point? What's the point of this? It's the gospel. In this poem, in the middle of Jonah, it lays out the gospel for us. So here's the outline for this morning. Experiencing God's wrath, we're going to get a little bit intense in there. And then part 2, experiencing God's salvation. And because we are so intense in the first part, that second part is going to be so satisfying. So let's go into that together this morning. Let's start in Jonah chapter 1. I'm going to go back a little bit into verse 17. And it says, and the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Wait. If you remember last week, Ethan talked about how we read this story, the story of Jonah, as if we've read it 100 times. As if, whether you're a parent or a child, you've seen the VeggieTales story of this 1,000 times. And so when we hear that Jonah was eaten by a great fish, what we think of is this like big, friendly, green fish with a big smile, and he comes up and he eats Jonah, and we're like, oh, cool, Jonah was rescued from the storm. But if you were reading this for the first time, and Jonah got eaten by a fish, God was showing his wrath, displaying his wrath in a giant storm, and then the sailors threw Jonah into this storm, and then a fish came up and ate Jonah, I don't think we would think of some friendly whale. I think we would probably think of Jaws. Like this giant sea monster that's like huge and just comes up and Jonah, gone. But then we get a hint in the second part of verse 17. It says, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Well, that's cool. It doesn't prove anything. I mean, digestion, eventually he would have ended up out even if he had died. Luckily, we know the end of the story, and he goes out the other end. So that's the context of where we are in this story. Jonah was just eaten by a fish. He was just, the wrath of God was just displayed, and he is inside the belly of the fish, thinking to himself, man, I'm inside the belly of a fish. I am so dead. That's where we're at. Let's not look too far ahead. Let's be in the story with Jonah. So, chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, and he spoils it right here. I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me out of the belly of Sheol, or hell. I cried, and you heard my voice. So he's spoiling it. He's saying, I cried to you, and you heard me. But then he explains where he was before God heard him. Okay, so this is a foreshadowing of where he's going. When we get to verse 3, it says, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight. Yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. But the wrath isn't over yet. He says, the water closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me, weeds wrapped around my head. At the roots of the mountains, I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. We're going to stop there because I want us to feel the weight of where Jonah is at right now. I want us to feel that weight. And as I was reading through this over and over and over again, meditating on it, it reminded me of the Psalms. And that's because it is a psalm. But it reminded me of the Psalms in a really interesting way. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Psalm 42. It says, as the deer pants for flowing streams, so my soul pants for you, O God, as in a dry and weary land with no water. And then he gets to the middle of this psalm, and he says, why are you downcast, O my soul? Hope in God, for his breakers and waves crash over me. He's like a waterfall. His presence is all around me. And I was thinking to myself, wow, this sounds like this. But they're talking about two very different things here. One is God's love, his presence, his peace, and one is God's wrath. And then I got to thinking about Romans chapter 1, in which it says, things are made evident to all of creation, the attributes of God. The ocean is actually a perfect attribute, or is actually a perfect descriptor of many of God's attributes. His love, mercy, grace, covering us. And here in this psalm, his wrath. Covering us. And I think this is an important thing to think about. When we disobey God, when we sin, when we run away from God, we're not covered in all this stuff if we don't turn to him. We're covered in God's wrath. Okay, you guys might notice that I'm smiling a little bit. I can't help it. I smile when I worship. I smile when I preach. I'm just a smiley guy. And I can't help but smile when I talk about this because I know where it's going. But this is serious. If I could not smile, I would try not to. Because this is really serious. This is the wrath of God, and it is being poured out on those who don't repent and don't seek God. But let's understand this wrath. This wrath is something that we don't talk about too much, so I want to explain it. It's a wrath that comes from justice rather than from passion. It's not some kid throwing a temper tantrum. It's more like a judge. In our court system, we have this judge that is like, okay, you did something that disobeyed the law, and now I'm going to carry out this sentence on you. Smack. And that sentence is then carried out. But instead of our judicial system, our law, imagine it being God's law, because God is based off his law. And his law is perfect because he's the thing that designates whether something is perfect. If he were to change something, then all of a sudden that would be perfect. So God's law is perfect. Jonah disobeyed it, and now he is under the wrath of God in a fish at the bottom of the ocean. This is a picture of where we were before we found salvation, before we repented and went to Jesus. And it's a picture of where some of you may be. And that's a weighty thought this morning. That's why I didn't just breeze by it. I wanted to cover this so that we can get to the truth of salvation. And if you have any question of whether you are deserving of the wrath of God, Jonah turned away and ran, and that was deserving of the wrath of God. But in Revelation 21:8, it says, "As for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for the murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars," all of us are liars. We have all lied. "Their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." So Jonah's punishment for disobeying was getting eaten by a whale. But the punishment for all sin is death. Death entered the world because of sin. And that death is the wrath of God. He's the one who designed that punishment. And that's good news. And we're gonna get there. Don't worry. Wrestle with that a little bit. God made the punishment of sin death. That is God's wrath. Let's get on to something a little bit more cheerful, okay? We're going to go to my second point, experiencing the salvation of God. And this should be something that makes us a little like, whew, now he's getting into it. Now he's getting into the fun part. Now he's getting into the joyous part. And let's read, let's start at verse 6, right where it gets to the last down. Ethan last week talked about how Jonah keeps on saying, Jonah went down, and Jonah went down, and Jonah went down. Well, here we find the final down at verse 6. "At the roots of the mountains, I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love, but I, with a voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord." That's the main point of Jonah right there. We just read it. Salvation belongs to the Lord. If you can remember one thing from this morning, salvation belongs to the Lord. And as we look throughout the entire book of Jonah, we actually see something. It's a poetic structure within Hebrew poetry. There's these things called chiasms. And what that means is that the first thought and the last thought are parallel thoughts. And then the second and the second to last are parallel. And it goes on and on and on and on and on and on. And then when you reach the middle, you get the main point, the main idea. And guess what the middle verse of Jonah is? Salvation belongs to the Lord. Yes. There's so many things in Jonah that are hard to swallow. But the main point, it's like, my favorite drink is Coke. It's like drinking Coke. Like, I love the taste of that drink. And this is like that. It's like, oh, I just want some more. I just want to hear about that salvation. Yeah. So let's talk about it. Salvation belongs to the Lord. But what are we being saved from? Well, the wrath that I was talking about earlier. John Piper talks about this, and we're going to get to that quote. God has to save us instead of just letting us off the hook. He can't just let us off the hook because he is just. And it wouldn't be right, and he is right. He is righteous. It wouldn't be righteous for him to just let us go with there being no punishment at all. So there has to be a punishment. And this is what John Piper says about this. The wisdom of God devised a way for the love of God to deliver sinners from the wrath of God while not compromising the righteousness of God. Can I read that for us one more time? The wisdom of God devised a way for the love of God to deliver sinners from the wrath of God while not compromising the righteousness of God. God devised a way. What is that way? Death is the result of God's wrath brought on the world because of our sin. Jesus took that punishment. He took that wrath upon himself. He died on a cross. Remember how I said it was good news that the punishment for sin was death? That's because Jesus died. He paid it. It's over. And all we have to do is repent. And when we repent, that means we'll follow God. And when we get into Jonah chapter 3 next week, you'll see that. Jonah gets puked up out of this fish. It says he was vomited out of the fish. He gets up on the land, and God calls him again like he did in chapter 1. And guess what? Jonah goes. He obeys God because he repented. And we're going to get more into where he goes from there. And we're all sinners, and we all make mistakes and stuff like that. But this is the turning point. This is him repenting, being saved, and going and following God. So if you call on the Lord and you truly repent of your sinfulness, no matter how far away you are, in the belly of a fish at the bottom of an ocean, or in this chair where you're sitting as we worship this morning, no matter how far, if you repent, God will hear you and you will be saved because Christ died. He took that punishment. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Hallelujah. In closing, like Jonah, we are all under the wrath of God because we have all sinned. But also, like Jonah, we can look to God, we can remember God, we can repent from our sin and be saved from the wrath of God. And whether that salvation is being vomited up out of a great fish or it's salvation from eternity in hell, salvation belongs to the Lord. And if you repent, he chose you for that salvation. And now, because it belongs to him and he chose you, it belongs to you. You are saved if you repent. Hallelujah. Let's pray. God, it's incredible to me how your gospel, the good news of salvation, is everywhere in the scriptures. Even in this poem, in the place of a minor prophet, this middle poem just screams your salvation, Lord. I thank you for making it so evident, so clear to us what we must do for to gain your salvation. I pray that if there is any of us here today that has not accepted your salvation, has not repented of sin and gone to you, that they would be called by you to do that. That your Holy Spirit would provoke them into going to you. Lord, We praise you. We love you. You are great. And we are so glad, so overjoyed with what you have done for us. Help us to remember what you've done for us and help us to go and sin no more. In your holy, most precious name, amen.